We enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We have any first-time visitors that would like to be recognized? I think I see all familiar faces this morning. Announcements. Do we have any announcements?
Special announcements?
The general announcements are printed in your bulletin if you want to check on what's going on this week.
We have 12 people on a mission trip to Denton, Texas, along with other people that make up to 47. So what would that be? 35 more people, and they're going to the children's home in Denton, Texas. And they're going to work on the yard, et cetera, et cetera. And they're traveling right now. They left at 5 o'clock this morning, or 7 o'clock this morning. 7 o'clock this morning. And so they should be about what? Memphis now? Approaching Memphis. So pray as they travel across Arkansas, Texas, to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, which is 40 miles north, I think. And that's one concern. The other, that's a prayer concern as well as an announcement. Other prayer concerns.
Are there any other announcements?
If somebody mentioned first service, I would remind everybody next Sunday is this Sunday breakfast. It's generally for the Sunday school hour. And so I'm using it as an outreach tool, inviting friends that like to eat, but that know they haven't gotten around to come to church. Come out to the breakfast, take a chance. breakfast, the babies had to church. Or hopefully they had to take to church. So we use it, I mean, it's a great fellowship time for us, and I think it's a good time to bring other people.
Okay, any other announcements?
The construction is on the way. You can see something now. 15 rows of blocks. Runs, I guess, is the proper term. Is that right? Somebody told me, I forgot. Is that right? 15 runs. Okay.
The back door over here can be used for a fire escape if we need it. Of course, we have this door here. Okay. Have any prayer requests? Any additions or deletions to the prayer list?
Evan Wilkes.
Evan Wilkes. Anyone else?
They're going to deliver our baby on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, so we ask for your prayers on that day.
Okay. Excited?
Oh, yeah. A little bit anxious.
And we'll be Thursday.
They'll be wore out Thursday. We'll do that.
Perfect prayer. Sample Wednesday. A paragram.
And whatever.
Any others? Now let's pause for a moment of silent prayer as we prepare our hearts for worshiping God. Amen. Worship is printed in your bulletin. It is responsive. Oh, praise the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever.
Who will tell of the Lord's mighty acts and make His praises heard? Happy are they who act justly and do right at all times. Let us worship God.
Hello. Y'all stand up, please, and sing 515.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have life in my soul, for which all I have sought. cease from our wandering and going astray, for Jesus came into my heart, and my sins which were many or all washed away, for Jesus came into my heart.
Bow your heads. And before we pray, let us think. Think about when Jesus came into our heart. Remember when you invited Him in? Remember that experience? Was there sorrow for sin, a need for salvation? You knew that Jesus was the Savior. You invited Him into your life to forgive you, to direct your life, to make you a new person, to work in His kingdom, and to ultimately go to that heavenly kingdom and celebrate for an eternity. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, as we come into Your presence today, we come with humble hearts. We come remembering life before we knew You. But Lord, we don't want to go back. We thank You that You redeemed us. Lord, some of us were trying to earn our way to heaven. Some of us were just trying to stay as far away from You as we could because we were ashamed of the way we were living. Lord, You came and You touched us. And we responded. You forgave us. We became Your people. And You, our God. Lord, we thank You for that experience. We come to remember it this morning. We also come to be better prepared to share You with the world. And we come offering ourselves and we come praying in the name of Jesus who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
The choir liked the piece that Sam had selected last week so much, the praise piece. Sorry, Sam liked that piece so much that we decided we would sing it again this Sunday. So it's in the Renew Hymnal, if you'll turn to page 76. And actually, we're not going to ask you to sing it in French. Nice of us. But would you please sing all three verses? Because I don't think you can just sing praise without singing about loving the Lord and serving the Lord.
Express our faith in God, their statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Our regular hymnal to 507, and let's sing this chorus through twice.
children's time. I'm supposed to be with Miss Andrea. And there will be children's church after this, kids.
Good morning.
Thank you. John the Baptist was preaching. We find it recorded in Luke. We recorded Matthew chapter 3 today. Also, you find John the Baptist preaching in all the Gospels are his name. But the people came confessing their sins, and then they were baptized by John the Baptist, in the Jordan River. All that we have done this week has not been right. And there were some things that we ought to have done that we did not do. But it's not only our action, it's our thoughts and our words that are not as they should be. Let's confess our sin. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7 is about the dedication of the temple of King Solomon. There's a long prayer by King Solomon, and 7:14 is the response to God, or from God, to the questions if they did wrong. The word from God is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God promises forgiveness to the repentant. Amen. This hymn is 574. It is 2 Chronicles 7:14 set to music. And let's sing together about God's forgiveness.
Say an amen to that hymn. We express our thanks to God. Our offertory sentence today is from Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will be enriched, and one who gives water will get water. Will the ushers please come forward? hearing God's word. Our scripture lesson today is from Matthew 13:33 and Luke 13:20-21. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Then from Luke, again he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Talk about an influence. What kind of influence are we? Or maybe you could ask, what kind of influence has someone else been that has shaped our lives? If you think of that, that would cause us to think about the kind of influence that we need to be. Maybe some have influenced us for good. Others maybe have influenced us for bad. And likewise, we may have influenced some for good and some for bad. I trust that it's for good that we influence. My daughter came and said that I might be speaking a little loud, or my mic might be a little loud. Am I too loud for you? Okay. I want to be heard. They say if you want to really be heard, whisper. But I can't hear when people whisper too much. The influences that we are. This parable is about being an influence. It's another parable that Jesus used to explain from everyday life what the kingdom of God is like. Or we might say, this is a parable that tells us how things work in the kingdom of God. How it works. What are you talking about when you're talking about the kingdom of God? If you noticed in the reading, I chose to print both the Matthew passage and then the Luke passage. And Matthew uses the kingdom of heaven. Years later, when they wrote down, as he remembered what Jesus said and recorded it for his people, they could relate to the word kingdom of heaven. And when Luke recorded it, he remembered. Actually, we're not sure that Luke was with Jesus, but when he recorded it, he recorded the kingdom of God. 11 is like this. Or the kingdom of God is like this, and use leaven. So when we speak of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, we're talking about the same thing. So when we speak of the kingdom of God, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. Speak of the kingdom of heaven, we're speaking of the kingdom of God. So don't let that confuse us. Just two different people expressing their memory of what Jesus said as he gave this parable. And this parable is different than the previous three parables that I've tried to preach on. I think four sermons on three parables. This parable is about inside the house. Those parables were about outside the house. Those parables probably were concerning men, because it was probably in the society, at least I know anything about, and it was probably the same way in Jesus' day that he was talking about. The men did the farm work. The women took care of the cooking. But Jesus used a parable that could relate to the men. Actually, he used three of them. The sower of the seed, and then the planter of the mustard seed. I guess that would be three about sowing seeds or planting seeds. Parable of the sower, the parable of the wheat and tares or wheat and darnel, and then the parable of the mustard seed. And now he brings it inside the house. I think Jesus was careful to speak to everybody and to reveal that He had come not just for the men of society, or not just for one particular section of society, that He had come for all of mankind. Whosoever will, as John expressed it so beautifully in the his gospel, in the verse that we know so well, John 3:16. Whosoever will may come. Jesus died for all of mankind. This parable is about baking bread or getting bread ready to bake. And so I know what we were talking about. I've tried to bake some bread. I tried it yesterday. And finally I gave up and went to the grocery store and bought some bread. Let me show you. This is my effort at baking some bread. And this one's a little fluffier, but it's not too helpful. And we'll talk about these later. So these were my efforts. You don't want me baking bread that you're going to try to be nourished on. Incidentally, I quit eating bread for a period of time, and today is the third week, 3 weeks, I haven't eaten any bread. I've eaten a few crackers and a crouton or two or something like that, but that doesn't really count. Real, just bread. But I even went when I was careful to buy wheat bread, because wheat bread is supposed to be better for you than regular bread. But that's another story. I had to end up going to buy bread. In the time of Christ, well, let's go back and look at the parable again. This is real short. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. In the time of Christ, the practice was, as I understand it, and as I wasn't there, but others have written about it and told me about it. So as I understand that the time of Christ and down through the years, that the practice was to save from a batch of dough a small amount of dough that had leaven in it, or been leavened, or leavened dough. And that was saved for the next batch of bread to be made. Now, ask somebody in the early service, what did they do with that dough that they saved in the old days? And how did they preserve it? And this one person said, well, they froze it. Now, we have freezers. But 2,000 years ago, did they have freezers? Maybe they did, and they all got destroyed by some way. I don't know. But what did they do with this dough? How did they preserve it until they needed it for the next batch? I don't know. I didn't learn that much. Nobody told me that. But they would save a little back, and then the bread maker would mix the flour up and then place a small amount of leavened dough in the new batch of dough and let it set for a time. And the leaven would work, and it would work its way throughout this large batch. And it would rise. It would rise. Maybe it would double in size or more. Now, my mother never made yeast bread that I can remember. I did go and visit with my grandmother, who was living with her sister and her husband once, and they made some yeast rolls, and I got to kind of watch it. But for some reason, my mother, she didn't cook pumpkin pie for us because she didn't like it. She said we wouldn't like it. And she didn't do turkey because she didn't like it. And she thought we wouldn't like it. And she taught us not to like it. And I don't know why. We never questioned why she didn't do yeast rolls, but she just didn't. She used baking powder and what's that other stuff? Baking soda some way. And sometimes to get a little too much, and they have big yellow spots in them. And then she got self-rising meal that had all that stuff already mixed in. It may have had a little yeast in it. I don't know. Okay, so I never experienced seeing this dough rise but once. But I like to go to school where they'd make the dough like that. I'm going blank. Miss Goins can make the best yeast rolls. Boy, they're so good. When I was eating bread, and I may start back, get to thinking about it. And who likes to go to get a donut? You know, it rises up, and some of those donuts, those glazed ones especially, are nothing but a crust with a bunch of air in them. Or they have big holes in them, just air. But aren't they good? Good air. Good air. Love it. And I don't know what's so bad about them, but they say unhealthy food. I don't know. But I've eaten my share of them. 4 or 5 dozen, maybe sometimes. Okay. Today's world, we would do, if we needed some leaven, we would do like I did yesterday. I went to the grocery store and I picked up a package of yeast. Fleischmann's, is that the right way to say it? Fleischmann's yeast. I was helping in a wedding yesterday in rehearsal Friday night. I called the girl by the wrong name. Or pronounced the last name wrong. Well, I'm used to that. I didn't think it would bother them. But the mother-in-law-to-be came and said, I want to make sure that you pronounce her name right. Okay. And I was just assisting the bride's father, who is a minister also, but he had to walk his daughter down. So I was there till he got the daughter down the aisle and said a few words, and then they picked up. But anyhow, I said all that to say, did I say Fleischmann's right? If I did, doesn't matter. So I went to the store and got some yeast. And I read on it, a package. There's 3 little packages here. You know what the instructions are? Use 2 packages. What do you do with the third one? Does anybody know what you do with the third one? Throw it away? Save it for the next time? Does it matter? Anyhow, so I got this, and I understand if you mix your dough up, if you put this two of these in it and lay it aside, it will rise. Maybe it'll explode sometime. Has anybody ever had anything to explode? No? Okay. The bread is supposed to get light and fluffy. So to show you how it worked without practicing, I found some bread with yeast in it. I read the ingredients. They have to put them on that. It is yeast bread. And I got wheat bread. Supposed to be healthy, but you mash it and it's spongy. And it'll go back. It's got a lot of air in it, but it goes back. So, this was possibly, would have been flat like this if we hadn't put the yeast in it. And nobody wants that. I won't even try it myself. But I could might eat this one right after the service, okay? So, without the yeast, though, I found another one. Without the yeast, the bread would be flat like this. There was no yeast listed in the ingredients on this one. And flat bread. Now, some societies eat flat bread, but not us Southern Americans, do we? Southern United States people. So we can see the difference in no yeast and some yeast. It went and this looks better to me. It tastes better to me than this does, though I know the use of these also. Okay, like leaven or yeast in bread, so is Christ in a wine. And like leaven in bread or yeast in bread, so is the Christian influence in the world. It's like leaven that works throughout the bread. So is the church called upon, the Christian people of the world, those who have Christ living in them, are called upon to be a positive influence in the world. His kingdom, His people. His kingdom, His people, are to be working in the world. And I'm very much aware that there's one line of thinking, train of thought, that yeast, even in this parable, represents evil in the world. In most every other place in the Bible where leaven or yeast is mentioned, it is associated with evil. I think there's a couple back in the Old Testament where it's not associated with evil. And some say this is the yeast is the evil influence. And you can see that. A little evil can have its damaging influences. It just kind of works out through the world. One good example is this, that you who ever worked in a grocery store know about, is potatoes. Potatoes. Rotten potatoes. That woke you up, didn't it? Rotten potatoes. You ever walked in a grocery store by the potato bin and you know there was a rotten potato there? It permeates the whole atmosphere around it. It influences it. And it makes you want to get out of there. And if you're working there, and you'll go and take that box or basket of potatoes out, and you'll dig through and you'll find that one that your thumb goes right through the shell. And it is terrible. It's terrible. Or we always talk about one bad apple will ruin the whole bunch, right? So we could say that yeast will is a representative of evil, and this is a description of how evil can work throughout and go throughout a society. But I see that Jesus took something that was normally associated with bad, and I'm not the only one. I wasn't the original speaker of this. So he took the what was normally associated with bad or evil and used it for good. Now, I can show you on the internet numerous sermons where they say, oh, that's always associated with evil, and this talks about this is how evil can influence the world, and that's what he's talking about. But let's look at it from yeast being good. Jesus took a lot of bad things and made them righteous, didn't he? He took me and made me clean and Christian. I was lost and undone without Christ. And he took you and made you righteous. Not of your own self, but of His righteousness. So, William Barclay mentions five areas where Christianity has had a tremendous, or made a tremendous difference in society. Five areas, or what are the results of Christ coming into the world? And Barclay just points out five areas as he commented on Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. And those five areas are listed here. People in general, like you and me, and maybe some a lot worse than we ever were. Hopefully we were not that bad or this bad, but maybe we were. If we were, Christ still came to touch our lives anyway. Individual man. Individual woman, people, we have been greatly influenced by the presence of Christ. We've been even transformed by Jesus Christ. We've been made anew by Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it's verse 9. We begin with verse 9. The Apostle Paul is giving a list, a long list, or rather long list, of terrible, disgusting kind of sinners. And I just want to turn and read that. Sometimes it's better just to turn and read it right from the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. We will start there. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. None of us would want to be these people. But how does that have to do with about the transforming power of Christ? The next line says, the next verse, verse 11, and such were some of you. So he was saying to the Corinthian Christians, the members of the church who were supposed to be an influence good for good in society. He said, some of you used to be fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, and thieves, covetous. You were drunkards, you were revilers, and you were swindlers. Some of you were this, but Christ came and changed your life. That's what he's saying. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. A sinful people, and Jesus came and touched their life and transformed them. Now, they were not perfect. If you read further in the book of Corinthians, you find how imperfect they were. But they were trusting in the Lord, even in their imperfections. They were on the journey. They were striving. They were working. And they were willing when Paul wrote them and said, you're doing it wrong, folks. Get it right before I get there and chew you really out face to face about it. They tried to straighten up their lives. They asked for the help. So, individual man, people in general, we might say. And then, Christianity has had a great influence on the place of women in society. Christ came and gave women an identity as persons rather than property. And then the third influence, or the third area of life where it's had such a great influence, in the heathen society, the weak and the ill were considered a nuisance. They were left to die, young and old alike. If you were weak, if you were sick, you were just cast on the heap of rubbish, taken out to the trash pile, if you will, and left to die. I am told that a Christian monk formed the first asylum for the blind. I am told that a Christian merchant was the first to provide a free dispensary. And the first hospital, the first one that we have record on, was started by a Christian lady, a lady who had been touched by Jesus Christ. Christians, those who knew Jesus, were the first in society that we know anything about to be interested in the broken things of life. In other societies, the broken are cast aside. Then for the aged. The aged were once discarded on the rubbish heap. Christianity changed this. And children, especially girls. And we know, we read it in our papers, we hear it on the television, we hear many reports of it. Children were, and in many societies now, are of little interest to people. Especially in the ancient world. Especially girls. In some societies now, new babies, if it's a girl, In our world, life is almost built around the children. Jesus took time to teach the children, and Jesus teaches us to touch the children as He did. And Jesus teaches us the value of children. If you ever think that children are taking over and getting too much attention, look what Jesus did with them. The disciples wanted to send them away, but Jesus said, I've got time for them. Bring them on. Let me put up with them. Let them cry in church. I want them there. I want to minister to them. I want to help them. I want to show them what life is really like. There are two trains of thought as to how leaven and thus Christianity works. One is that the leaven works unseen. We can't see it in the dough, but it's there. Sometimes we can't see the influence of Christ working in the world, but it's there. And like the leaven in the dough bringing about a great change, so is the influence of Christ bringing about a great change. Sometimes we cannot see the people of God working in the world. They just go about it so quietly. Even sometimes they purposely hide their activity. Or maybe the Christian influence in the world is not activity at all. Maybe it's passive working of the influence of Jesus on the world. Maybe it's just somebody who goes into their closet and prays for the rest of society. I read of one person long ago, a limited person in many ways. She didn't have any way to be a witness for Christ except they published in her local newspaper a list of all the newborn babies that were born, and they published that occasionally. And she would take that paper every time it came to her house, and she would find that list of newborn babies, and she would pray for their parents, and she would pray for those children. She was working unseen in the world, but she was still working. And there are some that say that the influence of Christ is not seen. There are others that say that the work of Christ is always seen. That you can see it. You know, like the leaven, you can see what it's done. It changes a passive lump of seething, bubbling, passive lump of dough into a seething, bubbling, heaving mass. The work of the kingdom sometimes is violent. Sometimes it is disturbing. And it confuses us. But when it's violent and when it's disturbing, it's plain for all to see. Acts chapter 17, verse 6 tells us about the Christians getting to Thessalonica. And it says something the people were saying: those Christians have turned the world upside down, and now they're here among us. And they weren't too happy about it. They were disturbed that their world was going to be turned upside down with the influence of Christ. Yes, sometimes the influence of the church is seen as turning the world upside down. But the two trains of thought, one that it's unseen and one that it's seen, that's wrong to separate them. I'm convinced it's not a either-or situation. Rather, it's a both-and situation. A both-and. Barclay says that there is a sense in which the kingdom of the Spirit of God, the power of Christ, is always working, whether or not we see that work. And then there is a sense in which that work is plain to see. You saw yesterday, or this morning, if you watched the certain channels on the television, the local news, these people working hard at work yesterday, building houses for the less fortunate, for the underprivileged. Hot. It was hot yesterday. I just watched them Thursday laying block here. It's hot out there. Just watching. These people were out building a house. The churches. The influence of Christ into the world. to help somebody that didn't have a house have one. Plain to see. Last week, we talked about the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, if you want to call it that, starts from the smallest beginning, like with the mustard seed. With the small bit of leaven, the whole lump is changed. The character of the dough is changed. And dedicated lives of individual Christians can change the world around them. It can happen. Please understand that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, it works from the inside. The leaven has to be placed inside the dough, or the yeast has to be placed inside the dough for it to work. People of the kingdom, that's what you are, is it not? People of the kingdom, we must be in the world. We have to be out in the world. To have an influence on the world. As we lead people to know Christ. And to have their life changed for good. And become new creatures. One person has said that the church and its influence in the world, or the church, is the factory where men are produced. New creatures are produced. But the power to change the world comes from outside of us. The power to change the world comes from Christ Jesus, the Son of God. God in the flesh, who came to redeem man. For us to be able to change the world, we have to have Christ. We must have Christ in us. We must have Him in us. And then we can be that influence of bringing about change for good, for God, for Christ's kingdom in the world. The big question, we come down to this each Sunday. Has Christ been received into your life? Has Christ been received into your life? Has He come into your life and saved you? If He hasn't, He wants to. Has He become Lord of your life that He might direct you? I think of Revelation 3:20. Is that the quote, the reference? Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," the door of our heart. "If any person will open the door, I will come in and sup with them, and he with me." I'll come in and be a part of His life. I'll come in and abide in Him. Jesus would like to be invited into your life this day. The song we're going to sing as we extend the invitation is 452. It's a prayer about making or being made a blessing to the world. But maybe your need today is to let Christ bless you with salvation. And you would today come to trust Him as your Savior and make Him the Lord of your life. Let's stand and sing 452. If there's one who would respond to a commitment to Christ and open the door of their life to let Christ come in, that their life might be transformed, that they might be agents of that transforming power in the world, might become that. That invitation is extended as we sing. The altar awaits you. I'll meet you there. One would like to unite with the church, trusting Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'll meet you in the altar. 452. Make me a blessing. One verse, please.
A very appropriate prayer to close the service with. So I will simply say, Amen.
I'm going to